When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
What's happening, guys? How you doing?
We are well. I want to get Brown stuff out of the way with you because I want to get on to Guardians and even Cavaliers. But let me ask you this. Tell me, is this valid? Every time I think about the Browns and their offensive woes so far, my head just immediately goes to, yeah, but that offensive line is such a mess, we can't draw any real conclusions. Is that true or is it not? Because, Tom, I don't know if it's true or not.
I think it's very valid, to be honest with you, Jeff. I think the root of a lot of these problems so far have been with the offensive line, right? We've had, you know, they've been missing at least two starters for the entire, you know, first four games. Actually, Jed was back for the one game, right? You swap out your starting center for a backup. You know, you have problems with that just this past Sunday, right? We get the holding call on him, the bad snap down the stretch. I like Nick Harris a lot. I think he's a good ball player. He's a backup for a reason. I'll pivot then to Deshaun Watson and the way he's played in the first few games. I think a lot of that can be connected to the offensive line. I did think they did a better job this past Sunday in having him get rid of the ball quicker, which I think is a reflection of the inability of this team to protect the quarterback to this point. So, yeah, Jeff, I think a lot of it, you know, I think if there is a common thread through all these problems, you have to kind of start with the offensive line.
Other people want to look at coaching, and I don't know. I watch what they do in the beginning of the game, and I'm like, seems like they're coaching pretty well when it comes to that first series. But I also wonder about the coaches they lost, and I really don't ever want to talk about that because you would think, well, okay, it's coaching. Those guys don't actually go out on the field, but I don't, schematically, you know, where is this team and what are they doing? And should some of the blame be on coaching?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where to go with, you know, I'll be honest with you, Andy, you know, coaches aren't out there holding. They're not out there running the wrong pass routes.
Right.
They're not dropping passes. I think this is a good coaching staff. Now, granted, you know, losing Bill Callahan was clearly a blow. I think Andy Dickerson is a good coach. He's been here for, you know, all of four games right now. So I think maybe we should give that a little bit of time to breathe. So, yeah, it was tough losing him. I think, you know, you're also dealing with, you know, with injury issues on that line that, you know, what are coaches supposed to do about that? I mean, you only have so many bodies, right? I mean, you know what this team has endured, and I'm not making excuses for them. Don't get me wrong. But when you look at what they've dealt with in these first 4 weeks in terms of the offensive front, you know, there's been weeks, where they've gone into Saturday not knowing who their starters are going to be up front. And then, sure, you know, to Jeff's point earlier, I think that's where it all begins, right? We always talk about, you know, the foundation of teams are built on the offensive and defensive lines. And I think that's a good place to start here. And listen, I think we're all guilty of a bit of overreaction through four games. But because this was supposed to be the easy part of the schedule, right? These were supposed to be the winnable games. These were supposed to be the games in which, you know, Deshaun Watson built some confidence and they got rolling before they, you know, that they ended up now facing a Washington team that looks entirely differently on paper or in person than we thought at the beginning of the season. But we haven't even got to the AFC North games yet. So, listen, it seems to have been one thing after another. You know, they haven't gotten any breaks, but they haven't made any breaks for themselves either.
Tom Withers joining us from the Associated Press. Let's turn from football. We have a baseball team that's getting ready to go to the postseason. They get a bye in the first round, Tom. A stunning season. I've just thought all along, I can't wait to get to the playoffs. But I wonder if this team is built for the playoffs. I would think, why not? Because, you know, now you're playing five instead of having to play 161 to get there.
Absolutely, Jeff. And I think what this team has that teams haven't necessarily had in the past here in Cleveland is an absolutely locked down bullpen. Now, you don't know how that's going to translate once you get into October, but, you know, when you start to see a bullpen that's done what this team has done this year in terms of putting up near historical numbers, I mean, this is the lowest ERA that any Cleveland bullpen has had since 1954. That's a lot. It's even older than I am. That's a long time ago. So it's been tremendous. And I think, you know, given the way that the bullpen has performed this year, given the problems that this team has had in terms of starting pitching, again, let's go back to injuries. You want to talk, forget about the offensive line. Let's talk about the pitching injuries that this team has endured since the beginning of the season. And you look at the way, Jeff, that the off day set up, it wouldn't be surprising to me if you see a bullpen game in the playoffs. I mean, we saw what Terry Francona was able to do in 2016, right, when you got the weapon in Andrew Miller. Well, now, you know, not only do you have in Emmanuel Casse, the premier, the Mariano Rivera of today, and I don't use that term loosely because that's the best reliever that I've ever seen, mm-hmm. Who's had an historic year. You know, when you have arms like that in the bullpen, it really gives Stephen Vogt some weapons and some options and a way to shut down teams that, you know, we haven't seen around here.
What's the rotation look like for a three-game series?
Yeah, that's why I'm talking about the bullpen a little bit. Yeah. I think, Andy, you know, I think you've got to begin. Obviously, Tanner Bibee's going to get the ball in game one,
right?
And then I think, you know, when you talk about game two, I think Ben Lively comes to the forefront. You know, based on you know, the season that he's had, the confidence they have in him, you know, veteran, et cetera. You know, I don't know where Alex Cobb necessarily fits in, but it's not going to surprise me. I'm telling you guys right now, it's not going to surprise me if in games two or three, you see whoever that starter may be. And listen, Stephen Vogt is also going to be able to have like kind of a short leash with these guys. If they can get two or three innings maybe out of your starter, then you swing that bullpen door open and you start parading guys one after another. Now, again, we don't know how some of these kids are going to perform. You know, you got two rookies, actually three, right, in Gaddis Smith and Heron technically. That have never pitched in the postseason. So, you know, that's the intangible that none of us are going to know about until we see it and they have to experience it. But, again, some great options. You know, it starts with Bibee, and then I think anything is possible after that.
Tom Withers joining us from the Associated Press. Tom, how much does the September that Lane Thomas had calm everything down offensively?
Very much so, right? I think that's a key piece to this lineup. I think, you know, I'll throw Manzardo in there as well. It gives you options at the top of that lineup that you didn't necessarily see, right, Jeff, in August and into September when Lane Thomas was having the struggles that he's had. Guy's a good ball player. You know, I talked to some people in Washington who raved about him and talked about, you know, not only what a good fit he was in terms of the lineup, but what a, you know, a good addition to the clubhouse as well. And, you know, we've seen this before, guys, right? You know, after a big trade, a guy goes to another market and you struggle. I mean, let's take Francisco Lindor, for instance, who then ends up hitting you know, a memorable home run yesterday to put the Mets into the playoffs. You know, he had his struggles when he got to New York, and that's probably too extreme of an example. But we've seen it here as well when guys have come in, and it's taken them some time to kind of settle in. And you could see Lane Thomas, you know, stressing out there, right? You could feel like the sawdust coming out of the bottom of his bat when he was in the batter's box there for a few weeks when he was really grinding. But, you know, he gives them an option. And then listen, when you have the top of the lineup and, you know, a healthy Stephen Kwan, you know, we need to talk about him is paramount to this team doing what it wants to do. But when you have a guy in that two hole that can produce, that just means bigger things for numbers 3, 4, and 5.
What do you think, and I think the hard part here is where we never thought twice about it with Tito going into the playoffs, but we do have a rookie manager going into the playoffs. What do you think is the most important thing he needs to know going into I ask you this like you're another manager, but I think we've all seen, like from, you know, from Grover to Tito to Eric Wedge, you know, like, well, like I wonder what's the most important thing a rookie manager needs to know going into his first playoffs?
You know, I don't really worry about that too much, Andy, to be honest with you, only because this is a guy, this is a baseball lifer who's damn near experienced everything, right? He's played in the postseason. So
except managing in the postseason. No, I'm just kidding. Right. Well, yeah. I said, you know, he's experienced also, everything but this, yeah.
Yeah, but he's also, you know, he's been through, you know, just about everything you can in baseball. He's also got, and he'll be the first to talk about the coaching staff around him, right? Those guys have been through this as well. So I think, you know, I think Stephen Vogt has basically been taking these things on a day-to-day basis. I think he's grown into the job. I think he's been learning on the fly. You don't necessarily see the same mistakes twice. There have been very few times this year where I've really second-guessed him. He's been really good about using his pinch hitters in good spots. Guys have delivered in those spots for him because he's used the entire roster. I don't think, you know, there's not a guy on this team I don't think that he doesn't trust to be put into a big situation. Now, again, you're going to have a bunch of guys in this team that have never been through it, just like their manager. So until you face it, until you walk into the belly of the beast, you really don't know what you don't know.
Tom Withers is joining us from the Associated Press. Tom was at Cavs Media Day yesterday. Tom, the marching orders here seem real clear on this Cavalier season. J.B. Bickerstaff did a really nice job here. They didn't finish the way that the Cavs wanted them to finish, apparently, the front office. So you change coaches. You don't change the team. The team's basically back. Instead, you bring in a coach who's offensive-minded, and you say, Kenny, fix it, because you've got everything that J.B. had last year. Does that sum this situation up?
Very much so. Let's run it back and let's see what Kenny Atkinson can bring. And obviously, you know, his time with Caris LeVert, his time with Jared Allen clearly, plays a part here as well. So, you know, some secondary guys, if you will. But, yeah, it's about Kenny Atkinson coming in here and figuring out, in my mind, how to get the most out of the backcourt of Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, and then getting absolutely the maximum out of you. What you can out of Evan Mobley, who has been identified as, you know, the next great player. And that's at both ends of the court, Jeff. You know, I think Evan needs to grow into that leadership defensive role where he is the biggest voice out there. And listen, his skill set is, it's damn near unmatched in terms of big men defensively in this league. And you want to see maybe a little bit more production out of him from the offensive end, but that doesn't necessarily mean him, you know, averaging 24 points a game either, though, Jeff, right? It may be him being, you know, more efficient, and maybe in terms of them running the offense through him and him finding Donovan and Darius and doing some different things. So, yeah, I think there's a little bit of pressure on Kenny Atkinson here, but, you know, he seems to be the perfect guy in terms of what they needed at this time, right? This is a guy whose coaching trajectory is almost on the same plane as the Cavs and their ascension here over the last couple of years into developing under J.B. Bickerstaff, becoming a playoff team, winning a playoff round, and now hopefully taking the next step. You know, and it's, I think it's interesting too, Jeff and Andy, when you look around the league, a lot of teams are running it back, right? I mean, there were some changes and there's been some big moves, and, you know, Towns going to New York, you know, obviously I think changes the Knicks a little bit, and maybe the Eastern Conference to some degree, and, you know, Paul George going to Philadelphia. But other than that, when you look around the league, most teams are running it back. So, you know, the Cleveland situation is not necessarily unique.
Yeah, I just wonder how far away are they from the Celtics? You know, because I think we were trying to gauge that during the playoffs, and then the Knicks just if the Knicks aren't number two, they might be number one after this.
Well, yeah, you know, and we've always talked about how good the Western Conference has been over the years, right? Now, look at this East now. And, you know, we just talked about, you could probably identify the top three teams as obviously Boston, and then you can go probably Philadelphia and New York. But let's not forget about an Indiana team that has showed great growth. Let's not forget about the Milwaukee Bucks, who were champions just a couple of years ago. Let's not forget about that Orlando Magic team that we saw in the playoffs last year. And then, you know, the Cavs are in the mix as well. And then, you know, you forget about a team like Miami, who, by the way, still has Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra. So it's loaded. It's going to be a grinder all year.
Tom, I agree with that. And that's why, you know, the Cavs are going to have to keep the defensive identity that they had with J.B. Bickerstaff and yet make that offense sing, because you just mentioned Orlando. They're going to be better. I think Indiana is a team to really keep an eye on. You know, Milwaukee's should be better than they were, and they're still terrific. Philly, Boston. I mean, I think the Cavs are going to have to play really well to finish in the top four. And there's a chance.
I totally agree, Jeff. Yeah.
If they don't, I mean, there are a lot of teams that are going to be fighting 4 through 10 for playoff positioning.
I think it's fascinating. And, you know, I was trying to, like, you know, thinking of bigger theme stories yesterday when I was talking to guys at Media Day. You know, we've had 6 different champions in the last 6 years in the NBA, and it seems as wide open as ever. And I think, as you just listed the Eastern Conference, we could do the same thing in the West, Jeff. I think there are probably a half dozen teams that you could identify as legitimate NBA title contenders. And I think it's been a long time since we could say that in this league, right? it's always been kind of top heavy, and you can identify your favorites from year to year. But yeah, this is going to be, you know, I think it's going to be, first of all, for fans, I think it's great because you get great talent in here all the time that we get to see, and hopefully we don't run into that problem that we've had in the past in Cleveland, where it seems like whenever another team comes into town, they sit out their top player. That used to drive me crazy. But yeah, I think it's exciting. I was really intrigued by what Kenny Atkinson had to say on Friday when I talked to him about coaching Victor Wembanyama and how that could correlate to maybe some things he can identify to get out of Evan Mobley. I thought that was interesting to hear that he's already, you know, he's thought about that, and he talked to Evan about that as well. So, yeah, good things. I can't believe basketball is here, but it's that time of year. This is the confluence of the three rivers, right?
Sure. All right, Tom, when we took our first sports radio class, the topic always had to be Pete Rose. Pete Rose is passing yesterday. Jeff and I really haven't had a chance to talk about it today. I'm just curious your thoughts on, you know, the player, the manager, the impact of Pete Rose on the game of baseball.
Yeah, the baseball icon, right? I mean, when you think about what he did on the field, you guys, and, you know, we can talk about the gambling issues and how that relates to him getting in the Hall of Fame one day or not, but to consider that you can average 200 hits for 20 years and still not break Pete Rose's record says a lot. And, you know, I'm one of the children of the 70s that grew up with the Big Red Machine. And there was no more potent a team that I've seen, in my years of watching baseball than that group with, you know, Bench and Morgan and Perez and Charlie Hustle and just the way he played the game. You know, you guys can remember, you know, just Pete Rose going from first to third, you know, with the head first dive. And then obviously everyone here in Cleveland remembers him barreling into Ray Fosse in the All-Star game, which, you know, some still say was a dirty play, and others just kind of sum that up as that's who Pete Rose was. So I can remember also being on the desk in my early years in journalism when, you know, Giamatti ruled that he was banned from baseball and, you know, the after effects of all of that. And, you know, he led a tough life as well. You know, I mean, Pete Rose, he played hard, he lived hard, and, you know, rest his soul.
Thank you, sir. Always appreciate your time,
Always
Tom.
Always a pleasure. You got it, gentlemen. Have a good one. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Tom.
Absolutely. Enjoy covering the playoffs.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Tom Withers, Associated Press, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We're going to talk about Pete Rose coming up in a little bit. We're also going to talk about the Cavs next. And, Andy, it's an interesting situation, I think, with the Cavaliers because they've changed head coach, coaching staff, and not much else.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I mean, that's like, hey, Kenny, good luck. We think the team is here to do big things. We think the coach was the issue. So no pressure there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Good luck to you. Let's get into that coming up next on Baskin and Phelps.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.